We are welcoming a new show to iHeart and the DraftKings YouTube channel. It is called Point Game with John Wall and CJ Toledano. It is an insider look at the NBA and the coaches surrounding the league. Every week, the five-time All-Star and the number one pick in the 2010 NBA Draft, John Wall, will give his unique perspective on hot topics in the league and tell the best behind-the-scenes stories from his time in the NBA. So check out Point Game with John Wall and CJ Toledano on the iHeartRadio app, the DraftKings YouTube channel, or wherever you listen to podcasts.
Black Tech Green Money isn't just about telling the stories of successful black entrepreneurs. It's also about giving actionable and wealth-building strategies that help you protect the future of our communities. That's why we're pleased to be supported by State Farm Insurance. State Farm also believes that we must invest in our communities to achieve economic growth by sponsoring programs like the AXO, which rewards high school students for their academic achievements. State Farm believes that being better neighbors creates better communities. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
If you're looking for the most epic place on earth, let's start at the base of a massive waterfall. Then trek through the thick jungle. Then climb to the peak of a snowy mountaintop. Then once you get there, keep going. Because with intelligent 4x4 and 7 drive modes and a Nissan Pathfinder, the search is the real adventure.
Available feature. Intelligent 4x4 cannot prevent collisions or provide enhanced traction in all conditions. Always monitor traffic and weather conditions.
AT&T connects an ode to podcasts. Connect the alarm. Change the podcast you stream. Connect the snooze. 10 more minutes to dream.
Connect the shower. Lather up with the news. Sports talk, comedians, or movie reviews. Connect with that 3-hour philosophy show. Change the drive into work. In traffic, so slow.
Connect the dishes to voices that glow. Thank you to the geniuses of spoken audio. Connect the stories, change your perspective. Connecting changes everything. AT&T.
I'm Katya Adler, host of The Global Story. Over the last 25 years, I've covered conflicts in the Middle East, political and economic crises in Europe, drug cartels in Mexico. Now I'm covering the stories behind the news all over the world in conversation with those who break it. Join me Monday to Friday to find out what's happening, why, and what it all means. Follow The Global Story from the BBC wherever you listen to podcasts.
No, he didn't. Andre never had an original idea in his fucking life. No, I'm playing.
Let's go. Here we go. Morning, everybody. It's DJ Envy, Charlamagne the Guy. We are the Breakfast Club. We got a legend and icon in the building. Wow. I got to spell it out. M-E-T-H-O-D. Man,
since when do they stand in interviews?
It's all love.
Yeah, you know what I'm saying? Since when do they be here in interviews? So Charlamagne, you ain't got no shame? She said she ain't got no shame.
Sis. So Charlamagne, we were having a conversation before you walked in.
Yes, sir.
Yeah. We were talking about, you know, our annuals and going to the doctor and this, that, and the other.
Yeah.
So I was telling, you know, we were talking about colonoscopy.
Got one.
And the ladies in the room was like, yeah, they put you out. And I'm like, yeah, it was one of the best sleeps ever.
Definitely.
Right?
It's the same stuff they give Michael Jackson. They tell you that before they do it.
That's exactly what they said. I didn't want to say their names, but. Shout out to Trey Watt. But Matt said, they put you to sleep. They ain't never put me to sleep.
Right.
Impossible.
Right.
Because I didn't know what the subject
was. He never got a colonoscopy. He got a prostate exam.
Got you.
Yeah.
I don't think I've had a prostate exam.
You had a prostate exam.
No, I had the colonoscopy.
The two fingers.
And
you had a prostate.
As a black man, we're more susceptible to prostate cancer. So, mm-hmm. I mean, I got mine checked the first time at 44. Mm-hmm. You're supposed to wait till you're 50, 45, 50?
No, it's 45 now to get a colonoscopy.
45 now.
You got to go get a colonoscopy.
No, it was 50. They just changed it to 45.
45. Yeah, you got to get a colonoscopy. That's where they stick the tube up your butt.
All right. So
and they look around for any polyps.
So for the uninformed, it's basically to make sure you don't have cancerous tumors.
That's right.
Inside
that's
of
correct.
Your,
no because if they catch it early, it can save you. You know, you don't have to go for another 10 years. So they know that you're free of cancer for 10 years.
So if you don't, what are the symptoms of?
You might not have a symptom.
But yeah, the people that I've known that have lost their lives to it, rest in peace, my man Combat Jack, by the time he went, he was stage 4. But he did say he thought that his stomach was getting bigger, but he said he thought it was because he was drinking and he wasn't eating.
It's
right,
bloated,
things like that.
Wow. It could be blood in your stool. It could be a bunch of different things. Sorry to talk about it today, but we got to make sure you go to the doctor.
Absolutely, absolutely. But you can get blood in your stool from straining too hard, right? Correct?
I never got blood in my stool.
To be honest, I haven't personally.
I don't know.
But
I can't believe we're having a conversation with Meph about health when he is absolutely, positively, probably
one of, if not the
most absolutely. Healthiest person in hip hop.
But now I'm informed about getting a colonoscopy. Mm-hmm. I have to. Oh, well, I'm not going to look into it. I have to get it done.
Absolutely.
All right. Well, that's something I have to do. Mm-hmm.
When did you get so heavy in the workout game? I've been watching you for years on Instagram, but like, what made you do it and when?
It's been about 10, 11 years now. Mm-hmm. 10, 13, 100 years now. I don't know. It was more or less, it started with insomnia for me, and I had a membership, mm-hmm. but I never really used it. I would go sporadically, you mm-hmm. know, here and there, on and off, like a lot of people do. But something just clicked in me and said, you know what, let's go see what's up with the gym. It was about 4 in the morning. I was having all this insomnia, and it was open. So I started going. I had already had, like, my own program that I was following that my trainer had gave me previously. So, you know, 3 days started turning into 4 days, and mm-hmm. 4 days turned into a month, and months turned into, you know, years, and my journey's been pretty good, man. I had some good people around me helping me along the way as well. Mm-hmm.
The fact that it's 4 a.m, you don't have to worry about people in the gym bothering you. You're kind of quiet and alone. And
you know, it was a little community in there, about 5 or 6 people that showed up every morning, and they kind of welcomed me with open arms after they saw I was serious. About the first month. Mm-hmm. You got to at least show up for, like, mm-hmm. the first month. Then they're like, okay, this guy's serious. And, you know, I was getting tips and things. And matter of fact, later on, when I found a workout partner, which is great for anybody, you should always find a workout partner because mm-hmm. they keep you honest and you keep them honest as well. From there, that's when the journey really happened, because up to that point, I wasn't even, like, following a strict diet regimen or anything of that sort, you know, because I was that uninformed. Mm-hmm. But over the years, having the workout partner and being around these people that were dedicated to it, picking up tips and things of that nature, yeah, definitely turned me into a gym rat.
Did you slow down smoking at all?
No.
I wondered about that, because you were always the OG weed guy, and, you know, like you, Snoop, Red.
I mean, that's a nice little lane to be in and stuff, but I always said I had so much more to offer, and I would hate to be just identified as just
mm-hmm. the weed
that.
Guy.
Yeah, mm-hmm. yeah, yeah. And I mean, I think I've done a pretty decent job of that.
No, that's an understanding. Yeah. Absolutely. Now, it's interesting because they got the BET's greatest rap crews of all time.
Right.
Humble. Wu-Tang versus Death Row.
I'm not disrespecting Death Row in the way you perform. I love Death Row and everything that they represented.
Humble.
I just don't know how it came down to Wu and Death Row.
Death Row is not a rap crew to me.
For me, it's Wu and Outkast as the greatest rap group of all time. Yes, Wu and Outkast, yes.
But Death Row is not a rap group to me. They're not a rap crew.
No, they're a crew. They're a label.
Yeah, they're a label.
And I think that's what they judged a lot of it based on as well. I mean, you got to really think about it. Those are groups, mm-hmm. you know, mm-hmm. Death Row. But it was groups within groups, especially with a Wu-Tang Clan, especially with the way we came in the game as a group with the option to sign as solo artists. So, yeah, it kind of makes sense. And I'm just humbled and honored in the same breath, because, you know, Death Row, they were out, 3 years before we even dropped? Mm-hmm. About 3 years before we even dropped, and we had heard nothing like that before from the mm-hmm. West Coast. I mean, I was a big NWA fan, you know, but other than that, everything else kind of slipped through the cracks. Even MC Hammer, you know, for a minute, he even slipped through the cracks, because we didn't really gravitate to Hammer like that. He even knew it, you know. It was mm-hmm. more or less like, you ain't hitting in Hammer, you ain't hitting in New York, Hammer. I'm going to turn his mother out, and he turned his mother out. Mm-hmm. He did exactly that. But, I mean, to be up against those guys, it's honor. Because, like I said, they put it down. Like, whew, I had never heard anything like Snoop or Corrupt, Daz, Rage, any of them, really. Mm-hmm. You know, that, what was it? Stranded on Death Row mm-hmm. was the record. That was the first thing that I heard from them. And I was like, who in the is this? That's Dr. Dre from N.W.A.? Mm-hmm. Wow.
Now, you guys already
How do you develop a relationship with them?
Well, hold on. I was going to tell people, they already defeated, you know, because we were talking about Cruz. They mm-hmm. they defeated Good Music, Rough Riders, the Juice Crew, G-Unit, and Death Row has defeated YMCMB, TDE, and NWA. So now the last battle is
and the Posse
Wu
and Hieroglyphics.
Yeah.
They were in there too.
Yeah, absolutely.
So now
the last battle is Wu versus Death Row, and the voting can start right now. So how can they vote? Let me ask the people in the back. How can they vote? Go to BET.com. That's Kim Osario's voice. BET.com/vote if you want to vote. And today is the deadline, correct?
Yeah, okay. Today is the deadline.
Slash go vote.
BET.com/go vote. I mean, vote Wu-Tang, vote Death Row, vote with your heart. You know what I mean? Like I said, it's just happy to be in the same space mm-hmm. with that greatness right there.
Come on, man. Why y'all Wu-Tang, man?
I get it. But, you know, like I said, humility is always going to be my go-to in situations like this. You never want to make things bigger than what they actually are. You let other people do that for you.
Mm-hmm. How did you develop that relationship? Because you had that relationship with them because you was on Mind Made Up with Pop.
Yeah. That was weird because it was because I had a relationship with Snoop and Dog Pound. I mean, I had Snoop in my forerunner, Uptown.
Wow.
You know what I mean? We went to the gate, and I swear on anything I love, each time I ever went there, the Dread would, I put my money through the slot, and he give me the weed, and I bring Snoop, he opened the door. I'm dead serious. Ask Snoop. Snoop can vouch for this. Let us in. Yeah, babies running around and shit. I've never been in this gate before. Like, oh shit, so this is what it's like.
What year was this? This Doggy Style Snoop?
Yeah, Doggy Style Snoop.
Wow,
yes,
so 800,000 one week, 800,000 another week. Wow.
And Snoop was in the hood in Harlem. Yeah, no security. Dog Pound was with us too.
Before the beef though, the so-called East Coast, West Coast.
Yeah, yeah. Well, it wasn't really those who are informed know it wasn't. But the funny shit was when we get back in the car, Corrupt look at the shit, was like, yo, cuz, this shit got... Shit got sticks and seeds in the car. They know about that choco. They know about that chocolate and shit. It probably was some whack weed now that I think about it and shit, man. You know. Shout out to Benny Rat, B Rat. He the one put me on to that spot. Remember Benny?
He passed away.
Yes, I know.
God bless the dead. So how did the record come about? Like,
well, hanging out with the you know, each time they came to the East Coast, I'd hang out with them. When I came to the West Coast, vice versa. And you know, Daz came and scooped us up. We went to Daz's crib, smoking. He had some records. He was just playing some shit, and we just spit on it. Mm-hmm. And the original song had myself, Rage, Daz Corrupt, of course, Redman, Inspector Deck.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I think that verse just got released, but I don't know if it's AI. I can't tell.
No, it's real.
That was real?
Or
the one that came out was real?
Yeah, it's real.
Wow.
From the story that I heard through the interviews, Pac was like, the record too long anyway, take that shit off there. No disrespect to Deck, but it was more or less like he's thinking, I got Redman and Method Man on this record. Fuck that. Let's chop it right there. The shit too long. Mm-hmm. Took Rage off the record. But I'd never actually recorded with Pac the same way I did with Big. When I recorded with Big, Tracy Waples in the background, she came and scooped me. Tracy came and scooped me. And I wasn't supposed to be doing the record, so I kind of snuck and went and did it.
Why was he supposed to do it? Because you were signed?
Well, you know, no, it was more or less because Wu-Tang, RZA, the plan was if we get hot, we keep the money in the family first. Then we'll build with everybody else once we're right, you know what I mean? And you got, like, your hottest artist in your group at that point in time going to do other records, with, you know? Mm-hmm. I did it twice too, by the way. I did the What with Biggie, and then I went and snuck and did How High with Redman. So
two of the greatest hip hop rappers.
I'm just saying. You know.
So to break it down. So Tracy picked you up.
Tracy picked me up to take me to the studio to do the What with Biggie Smalls that day, and me and Puffy played Torch. I remember that, right? Yeah, we definitely played Torch. I got his ass good too. I think I did at least.
What was Puff Torch you? What the hell?
I can't even remember. He was just saying. I don't know. I can't remember.
It was an actual game that wasn't just a skit.
It was just a skit on the album.
But we
used to play the, you know, we used to do it around the way and shit. Instead of snapping on each other, we used to play torture and shit. And I guess Puff heard the skit and he wanted to play torture. So he got tortured in that motherfucker.
And Big wasn't there during that time.
Big was there.
Oh, he was there.
Yeah, and he wrote his rhyme. Contrary to what people say, he didn't need pen or paper. He wrote his rhyme there and I wrote my rhyme there.
Oh, so he had a pen in the pad.
Yes. Yes, he did. Absolutely.
Are those the first draft verses? Like, did y'all go back and change things?
Nah, it wasn't no going back and change things. Yeah, we talking analog. So it was like when you went in there and spit, if you fucked up, you had to start over and start from the top and spit it again. And right or wrong. He don't know.
He's too young. He don't know about analog. You're asking one of the youngest people in here. He don't know damn analog.
Damn.
So I got a question about that then, because Biggie ends his verse, "Don't tempt me," and then you go "THO." So
he
y'all had me. To have some type of.
He said, "Don't mess." It actually was M.E.
Yeah, he said M.E. So don't
right.
tempt me.
He wanted me to come in right after that with "THOD," man, right behind M.E.
Okay.
But it didn't fall in the pocket because I had already written my verse. Mm-hmm. Like I'm writing my shit. Like I'm already four bars in. But you want me to start it with some other shit? It's like, okay, I'll try, but it overlapped.
Y'all wound up rapping over each other.
Rapping over each other, but it still worked, you ask me.
Oh, so his lyric was going to be M-E instead of saying me?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, shit.
Mm-hmm.
Man, I always, like, when I talk to y'all, it's, like, unbelievable, because I don't even know. Y'all shit is, like, Greek mythology, bro. Like, to us on the outside looking in, it's, like, that shit don't even seem real. Y'all, like, real superheroes.
Damn.
No.
Yes, for factual.
Yeah, man. It is.
Wow.
Because we don't never hear these stories. No, so the fact, man, that we, like, had two greats and how they broke it down and how they,
I tell Angie Martinez that all the time. Like, when I'm talking to people from that era, it's like, yo, that is literally like reading Greek mythology.
Well, it's a lot of, well, of course, because I'm not going to say, let's say hip hop was in its early 20s. Mm-hmm. At that point in stage, still young, mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? But it like to fuck a lot, you know what I'm saying? It's like, I'm out in these streets, I'm 20 years old, I'm finding out what life is about. Yeah. So it was a lot more authenticity. When you heard records from the West Coast, you knew it was from the West Coast. You heard that sound. When we heard UGK, we knew that was down south. You know, it was a difference. Not taking anything away from the music nowadays, because whatever works, and I like some of the shit they be doing now, some of that turn up shit. But back then, we had identities, and everybody was fighting for their own identity, whereas it seems like now everyone's fighting for the same identity.
Sound.
Yeah. You know.
You think that hurts music, especially with this being our 50th anniversary? Because New York doesn't have a sound now.
No, that's going to spark the mind that changes everything. You know what I mean? That goes against the grain. Because, I mean, when Wu-Tang came out, where were we at in hip-hop, if you really think about it? Mm-hmm. It wasn't shiny suits, but we were in suits. Mm-hmm. And a lot of that attributed to wanting a seat at the table, where the R&B singers, in the R&B section, where the R&B singers were to basically put hip-hop on the radar and shit. Plus, it was hot. R&B mixed with hip-hop was hot. Mm-hmm. I mean, Puffy been using that for years. He took Mary J. Blige and said, well, maybe Andre, but I wasn't in the office, whatever. But they took Mary J. Blige and said, you know what? I hear these Kid Capri mixed tapes and shit, and they're doing fucking R&B songs, but he's mixing hip-hop beats up underneath it.
Blended.
Let's do that. Mary blows up. Okay, we got Biggie. Let's flip it the other way. We're going to take the R&B tracks and let him rhyme on those. Formula works. Either way, it's shit, but dude. But are we to say, fuck that hip-hop? Fuck, because we were like, fuck that R&B shit. Mm-hmm. Fuck, I would have. But it worked. Mm-hmm. If it wasn't for that R&B shit, there wouldn't be All I Need.
That's right.
There wouldn't be One More Chance. Mm-hmm. Shit like that. You
Big
know
Papa,
what I'm saying?
Absolutely.
Yeah, Big Papa. Even Montel Jordan fucking... This is how we do it. Which is a direct bite of Slick Rick, if you ask me. Come on. Right?
Children's story. Same tempo. Damn
bottom line. Yeah. Mm-hmm. It's the bottom line.
Was it just we biting and sampling?
It's not biting. I mean, Den Bismarck, he was biting all the old people, mm-hmm, with all the samples he had on his shit. Mm-hmm. I think it's homage in more ways than one, because a lot of these records we grew up listening to as children, so they resonate with us, as well as the audience that we came up with. So it makes sense. At the end of the day, I don't think it's biting at all. But if you're directly saying, you know, you're coming straight out saying people rhymes, you know, and mm-hmm, claiming them as your own. I think something recently happened like that. A record that was done by Ludacris and somebody else.
Callie. The young lady, her name is Callie.
She did a similar record. No disrespect
to her, but she's saying, I believe she said she never even heard Area Code.
She never heard Area Code from Luda. Mm-hmm.
That is totally fair. But when you get into the content of the record, it sounds...
like Luda's Area Code, similar.
She slowed it down the hook. Yeah.
But yeah, there's similarities in there. But, I mean, if you never heard the record, by all means, somebody heard that record. Mm-hmm. Somebody did.
Did you know All I Need was going to turn into the big wedding song it was?
I was scared of it.
That was my first, that's what I danced to at my wedding. That was my
nice.
All I Need remix. Word up.
Nice. I didn't even want to put the record out.
Why?
Because I knew what it would do.
Would be successful?
Yeah, be great.
Not in that sense. I just didn't want to be putting that R&B light. Yeah, remember, we had a problem with that. We had a real problem with that.
And you never liked the sex symbol.
Well, that's something else. That comes with, like, that's when people don't see the substance within. They only see the flesh. And I have a big problem.
I get it.
I can understand that. I can understand that. For real.
But it was a hood love song. It wasn't like a polished. I mean, you went and got your woman's tampons.
Absolutely. But you can paint it any way you want to paint it. It's still I Need Love, but for another generation. You know what I mean? Paint it in any light you want to paint it in.
So how did they finally get you to put it out?
I think they gave me $50K. Was it 50? I don't know. I think it was like 25 or 50K. I was supposed to buy a car. Yeah, 50K. I was supposed to buy a car with it, but I didn't. I put that shit right in the bank.
It's crazy to think. I saw, I think he was on Mav Hopper. I think it was when you was talking about you can't believe the money that these artists are getting.
Oh, getting now,
yeah. So when you hear 50K now.
No, it wasn't. See, they took that out of context as well. It was more or less me trying to delve into the hustle of private jet flying. Right. Being so frustrated with commercial airlines so much that, how are they doing this?
And in me doing that, it was misconstrued as me pocket checking or you know, fucking up the scam or whatever mm-hmm. the fuck they doing. I don't know. Mm-hmm. But it was just me being curious, and it definitely got taken out of context. But there are some artists that you look at and you wonder, like, they came in rich? No, like, you wonder and shit, you know what I mean? Not to delve too deep in whatever their backgrounds are, but it's like, mm-hmm. those finances come, you know what I mean? Like, you came in this bitch rich? Mm-hmm. You know? I'm not even talking about dudes that had their drug dealing lifestyle and they known in the street for that, but some of these... Yeah, they got the clear blue.
Private jet one way $30,000, coming back is $30,000, $60,000. You're saying they you know they're not getting $60,000 for a show.
Well, I kind of broke it down to me.
Okay, what they say?
A lot of times the people that own these planes are maybe they're staying in California. Plane drops them in California and shit, but it has to go back to New York. It has to go back to these people are basically taking those planes that are owned by these other people, so their flight that they have to take back to New York, they're getting on that flight.
Buying a seat.
Basically, yeah, yeah. Which is smart as fuck, mm-hmm. you know what I mean? Pays for fuel, all kind of shit, but yeah, yeah, that's what it is. It is what it is.
What was $50,000 back then? What would that be the equivalent to now, you think?
At least $125,000.
Okay, and you said you put yours in the bank.
Yeah, I put it in the bank.
Like, did somebody put you up on financial literacy back then?
No, not at all. And another thing that really grinded my gears that I even thought of back then was fucking health insurance. Some type of health plan for, because you know, SAG takes care of a lot of things. Yeah. Yes, absolutely, big time. They're a blessing. But there's nothing in place for music artists or mm-hmm. even like, you know, they leave it up to you to have someone to advise you on things of that nature. But you young, dumb, and full of, you know what I mean? 22 years old, coming to a lot of money. First thing you thinking is how I'm going to spend it.
Right.
You know, you thinking like, yo, CPAs and things of that, but you, really, you thinking, I'm spitting this. It's like a bottomless, you ain't even thinking about where the next one's coming from because it's mm-hmm. coming in so quick. There's been times where I've gone on the road 2 weeks, come back home, and forget what I do for a living. Not really forget, I know what I'm doing, but it's so much fun. You get lost in it so much that you forget you get paid for it, you know? And then you look at your account like, oh, shit, whoa, that's a lot of O's. Where did that come from? Mm-hmm. Then it hits you. You know, it's a very lucrative business. I get why a lot of people want to, you know, just jump into it and get their feet wet in it and try and hit big. And it's like a lotto. It's like a lottery. So, and it's a quick way to a long problems, especially right. if you hit big. It's like your mama good, your family good, everybody good. And now y'all living, y'all got generational wealth for however long it lasts, you know. In that same breath, though, we're not paying attention to our own mental health, our own physical health, as well as financial gains right. or financial literacy, mm-hmm. so to speak. And people in the midst of that, as well as being taken advantage of in deals and things of that nature, by the time you realize that you're in trouble, the people around you already knew it and they're already gone.
That's right.
I was going to ask you, did you ever get to that, I call it the uh-oh phase, like everything is good and then it's like, uh-oh.
Yeah. Yeah. A lot of times.
That's really? It.
Yeah.
I feel like you would have saved more money than most because you've never presented that lifestyle. Never was flashy, never the jewelry, never
or he
the
had
cars.
A catalog that could always put it back where he needed to be.
I could always get a show.
Mm-hmm. Right.
You know what I mean? It's just the fact of wanting to get up and go do it. Mm-hmm. And motivation is a motherfucker. And when you feel unmotivated and depression, things of that nature, plus you're not feeling as worthy as you were, as you felt back in the past, it wears on you, takes a toll on you. Then you become recluse, and you don't want to be bothered with anybody. But the bills still come. Mm-hmm. You still got to go out. So you do just enough to get by. Certain things catch up. I had a tax thing going on as well.
IRS don't play.
Yeah, they don't.
Crazy number?
No, not even. Not like some of these people, no. Like I said, I always lived a modest lifestyle. Still to this day, I live a lot modest lifestyle. So, I mean, when it comes, I can't, it's hard for me to describe because I'm still in that space where it's, why do I got to give these motherfuckers my money?
That's why I feel like you ain't got to. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I get it.
You
I
know?
Feel the same way. Mm-hmm.
But
so
I know.
Much of it.
And I don't know, man. I leave that shit.
Now they listen. So yeah, that's good. That's a good point.
Leave that shit.
No, they listen. I was going to ask, when you got into that, what made you have that love back again? Because like you said, you were depressed. You didn't want to go out. What gave you that love? What gave you that inspiration?
A few things. People that I grew up with, they were in the studio making music, was asking me to come through. Battle Rap, love those guys, man. Because you can tell, like, of course they get paid for those battles and stuff, but you can tell that they do it because they love that shit. You know what I mean? And that's why I even started. And just wanting to, knowing that I had more to contribute than what I had. Knowing that, in hindsight, that if I would have did better or paid attention a little bit more, it would have turned out better for me. But knowing that and saying to myself that there's always time to improve and what can I improve on helped a lot. I started being more grounded, taking better care of myself as well as my surroundings and the people around me, and listening more. That's one major thing right there that a lot of people don't do a lot. A good listener is going to learn. Mm-hmm. So, yeah. It took me a while.
One of the things I loved that I saw you do, when you apologized to the Destiny's Child.
Yeah.
And I just thought that was dope because that's something that, you know, we don't do. We grow up, we evolve, and we do constantly think about people we may have done wrong, but nobody ever just publicly said, hey, man.
That was something that bothered me from the day it happened. Mm. Like, it really stuck with me for a very long time. And I meant everything I said, man. It was genuine in that moment, you know. They didn't deserve that shit, and I was just miserable. That's all.
Nobody wants to admit that. Nobody. None of us want to admit it's us. I was the miserable.
Pretty much.
Did you ever speak to them after the apology?
I haven't seen them. But, you know, I've run into Kelly. I've run into Michelle. Nobody runs into being like, you don't run into Beyonce and shit. But, yeah, I ran into Kelly. Matter of fact, I ran into Kelly Rowland in Flight Club in L.A. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? To let her know I was very proud of what she was doing and everything, you know what I mean? And that was before the apology, years ago. And Michelle, I seen her at a basketball game. I think she was finding Jesus at the time. Good for her, though.
No, she still is.
She still is, right?
Making herself an advocate.
Mm-hmm. Girl, yeah. Love her.
When did you realize, when did you say to yourself, yo, it's me, I'm miserable?
I knew that back then.
Really?
Yeah, I knew it. I just didn't want to accept it, you know?
People would say, what made you miserable? It seemed like you had everything. You had success, you had the money, you had the life. It seems like you had everything.
I didn't respect anything. And with that being said, I didn't think anybody respected me. So I just wanted to go away and work on some things. And it, like I said, it worked out for me, man. I'm not suggesting everybody do what I did or everybody can do what I did, because honestly, I can fall back on a group that's iconic at any point in time. So there's always going to be a bag there for me. But the point is it's satisfying enough for me to want to go back. Mm. What can I do to advance myself? And I think I'm doing a pretty good job of it, man. I'm happy, and I think it's resonating, and people see it, you know? Fucking calling me Zaddy at 52 years old. What is that shit? The fuck is that?
That's a good thing, man. That's a good thing.
What she say, they say, yo, yeah, they calling me Fine AF. From girls, Fine AF? What's Fine AF?
Air Force, nigga.
Air Force. So what got you into the movie and the acting, and when you do have to get into it?
I've been doing that shit.
But do you feel a way when you have to audition because you are such a celebrity and star, people know who you are?
No, there's never ego. That's one thing I never had, was the ego and shit. I don't like auditions. I don't know anybody that really does and shit. But I appreciate them. I would suggest that anybody that's, because I get people in the music game all day, I'm getting the acting shit, this, that. I would tell them all the same thing. Do the work. Take the classes, read the books. Because when you step on that set, your next look gotta be your best look or they will not call your ass back. And when those people break bread in Hollywood, they break bread. Please believe it. Mm-hmm. Yes, sir. Me, man, I'm like I said, one day at a time, and I'm just gonna ride it till the wheels fall off.
Mm-hmm. What's been your favorite role?
Right now, the Davis role.
The Davis role?
Because nobody's seen it coming.
Mm-hmm.
Nobody expected that, you know? And sometimes sometimes I look at the dialogue, we get the scripts, and I'll look, and I'm like, let me go right to my part, and I'll look, and it's like, a lot of dialogue here. A lot of jargon. But I credit the writers for, you know, giving us something that fits the palate enough mm-hmm. that we can digest it and make sense of it every time. So it's my pretty
favorite,
easy.
My favorite meme is when they do your How High character and they be like,
yeah, that was pretty, yeah, yeah.
Got you as Davis.
That was fairly new right there. I like the one I never miss. I like that one because I never miss.
Mm-hmm. Why the hell did they replace Redman with, like, as your brother? Yes.
He wouldn't get the jab.
Oh, wow, wow. Okay. Yeah,
at least that's what I heard.
Yeah, yeah.
You know? Did I talk to Redman about it? No. We close. We don't, like, shit like that don't even need to be said. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? But it happens. He's not the first or the last person that'll probably happen to. Mm-hmm. I remember, what's the guy's name? Ball guy. Actor. Very good at what he does. Rock.
Charles Dutton?
No. His name is actually Rock.
Rock.
He's a very good actor. I think he smacked the fire. He smacked fire out of Sanaa Lathan in that Tyler Perry movie.
Rock.
You mean old sitcom Rock? They said the sitcom?
No, his name is Rock, I believe. Rock, I don't know. Mm-hmm. Or maybe I'm wrong. That's not his name. But he smacked fire out of Sanaa Lathan in that movie, the Tyler Perry joint. Mm-hmm. Cause she was sleeping with the white dude. It's like, he ain't your baby.
I know exactly what you're talking about.
What's he talking about?
Fire!
His head, with a beat. Faces in my head. I can't think of his name. I know exactly what you're talking about. Light skin, brown.
Yeah. He was let go on the show because he wouldn't get the jab, and he was one of their leads, I believe. Mm-hmm. I could be wrong, mm-hmm. but you know, just to say that, you know, Redman, he made a decision, and I stick by whatever his decision was. If he feels that was best for him, I agree with him.
Gotcha.
You know what I love, man, and I don't know how you feel about this. I feel like there's no group in hip-hop documenting their story and history better than Wu-Tang. And what I mean by that is y'all got the television series.
Yeah.
Y'all got books.
Yeah.
Y'all had the documentary on Showtime.
That's RZA.
Do you feel like the story's being told properly?
As RZA, I mean, it's from his perspective, so it's being properly told through his lens. You know, of course we all have our own interpretation of how shit should be or how shit should go, but what you have is what you got. Mm-hmm. And I'm gonna stick by him. That's my dog.
All of it is RZA, though? Like, I love the doc on Showtime.
The documentary is all genuine.
Okay.
Of course, it's a documentary, but the show, I don't know.
You watched this episode, is that true?
No, I haven't. I only seen clips like on YouTube and stuff like that. And it's usually Dave's clips. People to send them to me. And he did a great job. I don't know. I just couldn't get a grasp on it, you know. And I was watching Snowfall at the time, so
you were EP on the Wu-Tang.
I know. But I've been there. I lived that already.
He said I did that. I've been there. I didn't. I was going to ask.
Is it accurate?
No, of course not. No.
Okay.
No. But none of them are actually. Even the BMF joint isn't accurate mm-hmm. at all.
Loosely based.
Yeah, loosely.
Is what they say. Yeah. Back to music. You getting back into music? You got that inspiration yet?
I've always been into music, but I've done three since. But the thing is, I do it because I want to, not because I have to. So that's pretty much why you guys probably haven't heard anything mm-hmm. or seen anything. But mm-hmm. I'm still there. Still there. Ask some of your favorite rappers. They'll tell you for real. Meth Lab 1-3.
That Conway joint.
Yeah, that's my guy right there, mm-hmm. though. But those dudes, like, that was an honor to do that because I love what they're doing. It's like it was still a place for lyricism and, you know, just hardcore boom bap beats.
To go back to documenting the Wu-Tang story, are you going to write a book? Because I loved Raekwon and you guys.
And his name is Rockman Dunbar, just to get his name right.
Rockman Dunbar.
Nice. Say again?
Are you going to write a book? I think every member of Wu-Tang should write a book. I love Raekwon's book, Staircase to Stage. I love you guys, Raw. I don't know if you read them.
Mm.
They all speak highly of you in there.
And you gonna say I was a crackhead. No, I'm playing. I'm joking. I mean, honestly, no. If I did decide to do something like that, I like how Mike did his thing.
Oh, the one man play joint.
Yeah, you know, because I'm pretty good at telling stories. I think Ice-T should do something like that. You guys get Ice up here. Ice got the best story.
Ice haven't been up here yet, right? Nah.
No, Ice got the best stories, bro. Like, and you know, Ice-T's been in the game for decades. Mm-hmm. Like, we're talking 30 plus. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? That dude, he has a lot. But yeah, I would love to do it like that kind of thing, like on a stage and just go through it. from the time that I, because I can remember all the way back to when I was two and a half years old.
Really?
Yeah.
I can go back to kindergarten.
How the hell do you remember 2 years old?
My mom told me that I was two, because I described our house we lived in when I was 2 years old.
Wow.
And we never stayed in any place for too long, so for me to be able to describe this house, you know, as soon as you come in the door, the living room, then you had the kitchen here, was opening here. We had three cereals. We had Frankenberry, Booberry, and we had the werewolf one. Anybody remember that one?
Yeah, no, I don't remember
Fruit Brute. Mm-hmm. Fruit Brute. Mm-hmm. All right, 2 years old. Then you go down this long hall. It was the doorway here. That was me and my sister's room. Doorway at the end of the hall, mom and dad's room. The reason why I knew that was because each night one of us would fall out the bed, start crying. One of them would come get us, bring them in the room with them. Directly at the end of the hall, bathroom. 2 years old.
Jesus. It's a genius child when you're 2 years old.
I feel like you got to tell this. I feel like you have to tell your story, though.
I
right?
start from there.
Because if you don't, somebody else.
I definitely will. Start from there. I remember being pushed out the window in my diaper.
What?
Well, it was a pair of drawers, but you know.
Who pushed you out the window?
I think my sister did.
She didn't like it.
Snow outside. It was only one. By the way, the house was only one level. Okay.
Okay. All right.
One level.
Still though, you're a baby. If you're in a pamper,
you know, might have been drawers. I was two. Mm-hmm. Two and a half. Shit, it might have been my drawers, but I just know I didn't have anything on except that. And it was white. I remember that much. And freaking, Fat Albert.
Coming on television.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
The Wu-Tang series ends with y'all having a issue with Divine, and that seems to be a common theme.
Everybody had an issue with Divine.
Yeah.
Everybody had an issue with Divine. It comes with the territory. If you're Wu-Tang, you have an issue with Divine. Period.
I wonder how he feels about that.
Mitchell? My nigga, Vine is cool as hell. Vine cool as the other side of the pillow. I think that dude did an excellent job playing Vine. Mm-hmm. You know, but the guy that really resonated to me the most, especially when I see the clips, is the guy that plays Power. Mm-hmm. He's got his mannerisms, the laugh, everything. That's Power. Mm-hmm. All fucking day. I think he killed that shit.
So you didn't help with your role at all?
I went and spoke to Dave, and I told Dave, the reason Dave really got the part, Dave is an MC from New York. It's a given. Mm-hmm. The mannerisms and all that shit gonna be, I was like, do you. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Don't be Method Man. I wasn't Method Man then. Be that MC, that fly MC from New York, and Dave did a good job, man.
I'd be wondering what you and-
I just wanted him to be comfortable.
Was he? You think he was? Because it's hard, right? Playing.
I could tell when he was uncomfortable front, because you have an eye for stuff like that. But once he hit his stride, he was off to the races. He was killing it, especially when you put the mic in his hand. Some of them dudes was rhyming way off beat. You know what I mean?
Well, that's the thing,
but you know, when you have a couple of swords and you put them together, and it makes, I mean, it's the Wu-Tang. It's the slang. It's a sword style of rhyming. God.
Jesus.
I always wonder what the conversations are like between you and Mary on set.
Man, me and Mary be laughing. Mary's funny as hell. Y'all wouldn't know it though.
Do y'all reminisce or do y'all live in the now? Like, cause y'all got it.
Both.
Or both.
Okay.
Both. Mm-hmm. Mary cool as hell and shit. You know, I don't want to say too much because, you know, it's regular shit for me and shit with her. It's like that's a little sis right there, a little big sis. Because she born before me in January. But Mary cool as hell. I mean, what can I say and shit? That I haven't said already in the interview. She the fucking queen. She demands respect. And she going to get it.
And she deserves it.
Yeah.
I do wonder about the bond that people have when they make a hit record, though.
What you mean?
Like, because y'all are kind of married for life.
Mary made me feel comfortable first when I first met her. I met at Puffy's birthday party. I think it was Roseland. When that shit, remember Roseland?
Yeah. Roseland Ballroom.
Yeah. She came up to me and was like, Bring the Pain was my shit. And I was like, wow, this Mary J. Blige right here, yo. And I had to tell her that Love No Limit was my shit, and I started singing it to her a little bit. But yeah, it was dope. It was dope. Next thing I know, he was in the studio recording. And
who set that up? Did Puff set that up?
Puffy. Shout out to Puff Daddy. Fucking Diddy, man. Diddy, love that dude, man. Like, people don't. What they do. They give him his props. Mm. They have to. It's like, Puff that nigga, though. Puff been around a long time, man, and I respect the shit out that dude.
It all goes back to tonight, too.
Hold on, one more thing. I got to ask this as a fan.
What's that?
I saw you on Math Off, and you were talking about how you didn't really like T'Cal, per se.
What do you mean?
The album?
The first album?
Yeah.
Yeah, because when we originally recorded it, there was a flood.
I remember. I heard about the flood.
A lot of the music got 100.
But
I think you're being too hard on yourself with the cow.
Yeah, I mean, those rhymes, a lot of those rhymes was written between 15 and 17 years old. So, you know, I had been doing that, some of those for a while. But the music side of it, it was like making shit on the fly at some point. It was just hard. It was rough. It was rough because we were basically touring, promoting the first album, and they had us way on the West Coast. Then we'd be in North Carolina somewhere, and I'm going in all these different, some of the studios were so nasty, like had rats and shit, the Papa Stopper with the stocking over it, you know what I mean? You know, shit like that. But we got through it, and the best part about it was that the album did well because it set the standard for the rest of the albums, solo albums that came after that. So it was like, okay, we really gonna be waiting for this Raekwon joint, or we really gonna be waiting for this old Dirty joint, you know what I mean? So on and so forth.
You a comic book guy.
Yep.
So what if the flood never happens? Where does Wu-Tang?
My shit probably would have been five mics. I got 4.5 in the source, or four. It was four in the source. I think I got four in the source. But you know what though? And I'm glad y'all brought that first album up, because that first album, man, a lot of that shit had to do with these women on this couch back here. Rhonda. Okay. Well, Kim, not so much. Rhonda and Tracy.
Okay.
Like.
But Kim was at the source.
But she wasn't number one when I first started, because Maddie and, you know, Maddie and them and nothing away from Kim. That's my homie right there. Love Kim.
I
love Kim. I ain't trying to shade her nothing, but the truth is the truth.
Got you.
Very instrumental in molding me into the artist that I am today, or was at that point in time. Got that album done, gave me all the promo and everything that I needed, and it went crazier after All I Need dropped. Because once All I Need dropped, it was like I was in the office every day meeting people that I hadn't even freaking met before.
How's it feel to still work with these ladies? Because, I mean, these are ladies that...
When I came in the lobby, it was like I didn't even recognize Tracy at first. Give me a hug.
I'm not working. I just hit their scene.
Yeah.
I wanted to see them.
You know what I'm saying? And then I come in and I see Rhonda and Kim, and I'm like, this is a fucking reunion right now. So now I'm comfortable, because I was coming in here on my bullshit. Now I'm playing.
Well, let's talk about it. The championship matchup is tonight. The BET's greatest rap crew of all time.
Yes. And Matt performing at the White House too, man.
Oh, no, I'm not performing.
Oh, you're not?
No, I'll be there, though.
Oh, I'll definitely be there at the Juneteenth.
It's going to be hot.
But how can they vote, Kim? What's the website?
That ain't going to happen.
BET.com/go vote. Did I say that right, Kim?
BET.com, go vote with your stinking ass. All right. Add that part.
And Matt, I just want to tell you, I love you, bro. I'm a fan. Thank you, lifelong fan. You really are a superhero to me. I get around Meth and Wu-Tang and feel like a kid. Like,
hell yeah.
God damn.
Mm-hmm. Y'all going to get a third seat in this motherfucker? My son need a job. I'm just asking this shit. He funny as fuck, too.
That's right. He funny?
Yeah, he funny.
Why you bring him with you?
He got to watch
him in a movie yet.
He got to watch his son. He got to watch my grandbaby.
Oh, okay.
All right. Well, there you have it. It's The Breakfast Club. It's Method Man.
Salute.
Good morning.
Yeah.
We just need to do two things for BET.
All right.
We'll be back with more Method Man, so don't move. It's The Breakfast Club on BET.
How was that Devin Franklin shit, though?
He's funny. Pretty good. Keep it locked. We got more with Method Man when we come back. It's The Breakfast Club on BET.
I met him.
Welcome back. We're still kicking it with Method Man, Charlamagne.
Cool. From BBC Radio 4, Britain's biggest paranormal podcast is going on a road trip.
I thought in that moment, oh my God, we've summoned something from this board.
This is Uncanny USA.
He says, somebody's in the house, and I screamed.
Listen to Uncanny USA wherever you get your BBC podcasts, if you dare.
It is Ryan here, and I have a question for you. What do you do when you win? Like, are you a fist pumper, a woo-hooer, a hand clapper, a high-fiver? I kind of like the high-five, but if you want to hone in on those winning moves, check out Chumba Casino. At ChumbaCasino.com, choose from hundreds of social casino-style games for your chance to redeem serious cash prizes. There are new game releases weekly, plus free daily bonuses, so don't wait. Start having the most fun ever at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void or prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18+.
AT&T connects an ode to podcasts. Connect the alarm. Change the podcast you stream. Connect the snooze. 10 more minutes to dream. Connect the shower. Lather up with the news, sports talk, comedians, or movie reviews. Connect with that 3-hour philosophy show. Change the drive into work in traffic so slow. Connect the dishes to voices that glow. Thank you to the geniuses of spoken audio. Connect the stories, change your perspective. Connecting changes everything. AT&T.
Rev up your thrills this summer at Cedar Point on the all-new Top Thrill 2. Drive the sky on the world's tallest and fastest triple-launch vertical speedway. And now, for a limited time, get more Cedar Point fun for less with our limited-time bundle for just $49.99. Get admission, parking, and all-day drinks for one low price. But you better hurry, because this bundle won't last long. Save now at cedarpoint.com.
As the number one audio company, iHeartMedia gives you access to all. Every audience, live conversations, trusted influencers, and the insights and data you need to grow. iHeartMedia is your access company. Go to iHeartResults.com for more.